Hello, and welcome once again to the show. This is your host, Jenna Snow, and we're here in what could be called the baking season. Many people have become aware of the fact that they are gluten intolerant, and they can't use regular wheat with gluten in it. But there are many alternatives out there that perhaps you weren't aware of. And in fact, some of the alternative flour choices are brown rice, sorghum, buckwheat, tapioca, and others. But today we're going to talk about something that you may not have ever heard about, and that is almond flour. We want to welcome to the show the author of the Gluten-Free Almond Flour Cookbook, Ilana Amsterdam, and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jenna. It's great to be here with you.
Almond flour, I've never heard of it, but it sounds wonderful. It sounds like it would be just a wonderful replacement for gluten-laden wheat flour. It sounds like to me that it would be mostly for something like desserts, but you've created an entire cookbook where you use almond flour instead of wheat. What I first want to know about is the fact that you were diagnosed with celiac disease in 1998, and I think it was just becoming known then. So what is celiac disease?
So celiac disease is an autoimmune disorder that's triggered by eating gluten. So the bad news is that gluten is in just about every food in the grocery store, right?
And it really is.
But the good news is that if you totally strictly cut gluten out of your diet, then you can really alleviate any symptoms of celiac disease. But it is a very serious disease, and it's very important to go 100% gluten-free if you are diagnosed with it.
Well, what are those symptoms? We hear of these diseases, but I always want to know, what is it? I mean, is it the fact you're tired? Is it allergies? What is it?
Celiac disease is a multi-organ system disease, and the seat of celiac disease is in the gut. So you have in your intestines these little fingers that are projections that stick up from the gut wall, and they capture the nutrients from your food. When you have celiac disease and you eat gluten, those little fingers, they're called villi, are flattened. So the nutrients are not absorbed. You can become malnourished. The classic symptom is anemia. People do experience fatigue, as you mentioned, bowel discomfort, stomach ache, bloating. Classically, when someone goes in and is exhibiting symptoms of celiac disease, the doctor, the internist or gastroenterologist will tell them they have IBS. And I heard someone the other day saying that that is BS, which I thought was really funny.
Oh, so you're saying irritable bowel syndrome.
Irritable bowel, that's an easy off-the-cuff diagnosis that doesn't really get to the heart of the matter. You know, if you don't get the diagnosis and you keep eating gluten, you can get migraines, neuropathy, which is a numbness and tingling in the extremities, and it can ultimately lead to cancer. So it's really important to cut gluten out of the diet if you do have celiac disease.
Well, that was an excellent explanation. You know, I've known of this disease, but I really didn't know everything you just said. So that's why this is important. Okay, well, let's now go back to your book, The Gluten-Free Almond Flour Cookbook. Now, there are many other choices, as I mentioned. Why has almond flour become your choice?
Well, I love almond flour for three reasons. The first one is that it's easy to use. You don't have to combine gums and, you know, potato starch and rice flour together. So ease of use. The second one is health. Almond flour is very healthy. It contains good fats that actually lower bad cholesterol and raise good cholesterol. The third reason, and the most important reason of all, is taste. I can bake desserts for a party, and I don't tell anyone that they're gluten-free, and people will walk out of there having no idea that they've eaten a gluten-free dessert. And I think that's the most important thing, because whether we have celiac disease or not, but especially if we have celiac disease, we still want to break bread with our friends. Food is a very social event, and it's very important culturally.
Right.
So you want to be able to make things that are good enough for your whole family, not just for the person with celiac disease or gluten intolerance.
Well, you have, I believe it's 90 recipes in your book, or
99
recipes,
yeah.
And it covers the gamut. It covers entrees such as smoked salmon, leek tart, which sounds wonderful, black bean burgers.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a vegetarian book,
no,
however.
It's not. We have chicken fingers, chicken parmesan,
Eggplant Parmesan, too.
Pata, eggplant Parmesan.
It's one of my favorites.
Fish cakes, shrimp fritters. There's all kinds of dishes that are very high in protein.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is because if you do have an autoimmune disorder and it hasn't been diagnosed right away, like with someone like me, I was diagnosed when I was 30. You might have had some destruction of tissues in the body, like with the lining of the gut. So it's really important to eat protein when you're trying to rebuild tissue in the body.
I wondered about that because actually, you know, I believe I've never been diagnosed, but I believe I probably am gluten intolerant.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister has been, and I know that we're very similar.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that she has celiac disease, but definitely is gluten intolerant.
Mm-hmm.
So she has been eating gluten-free and has noticed big differences for her.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you do? I mean, when you like pastas and, you know, actually I'm thinking about burritos, you know, just tortillas. Are there alternatives for that?
Well, you can eat corn tortillas. That's what I feed to my children.
Oh, that's true.
Those are gluten-free. But, yeah, no wheat tortillas.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna make chicken enchiladas for my children tonight. And I'll use regular Mexican organic corn tortillas that I got at the health food store.
Okay.
And leftover chicken, yeah.
Yeah,
and
wonderful.
Then my book, the big thing that a lot of people miss is breads. And I do have a bread section in my book. My favorite recipe in the bread section is muesli bread.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, let's.
Okay.
How do you make it?
Okay. Well, that recipe has almond flour and almond butter in it, so it is very high in protein again. And then what I love about this recipe and all the recipes is basically you just take a bowl and mix the wet ingredients together, another bowl of dry ingredients, throw those together, and then you put them in a baking dish and put them in the oven. There's no yeast in these recipes, which makes them yeast-free, which is great for people that are dealing with those kinds of issues. And then they're just really quick. They're quick breads. All the breads in my book are quick breads. So, you know, it's not going to take you more than 10 or 15 minutes to get the loaf into the oven. And then what I love about this bread is it's got flax meal, apricots, cranberries, and then a bunch of nuts and seeds in it, which makes it kind of really crunchy. A lot of people miss that crunch
mm-hmm.
when they go gluten-free, so that really satisfies my need for crunch. I love toasting this bread and having it with a little bit of goat cheese.
Oh, that all sounds wonderful. Now, I'm looking at your recipe, actually, page 31, your olive rosemary bread. Now, that looks, mm-hmm. that's my style. That looks really, really good.
Yeah, and dipped in olive oil. I love that one.
Yeah. Now, you do have Kalamata olives are part of this recipe,
mm-hmm.
and I do notice you have arrowroot powder in
uh-huh.
there as well. What was interesting, you mentioned about the potato starch and the tapioca flour,
mm-hmm.
that if you use a gluten-free flour, such as rice flour, you have to use those two other ingredients in order to make it more malleable, is mm-hmm. what I understand. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Those typical gluten-free flours are very crumbly, so you need gums to keep them together.
And so why doesn't almond flour need that? You say
almond flour has a very high fat content, and it's mm-hmm. very moist and rich, so it doesn't crumble. And like I mentioned before, those fats are good fats that lower bad cholesterol and raise good cholesterol. And they also, there's a number of studies done that show that people that eat a handful of almonds a day lose weight because almonds have a nice rich fat in it that creates a feeling of satiation. So as opposed to eating like a classic bread or dessert where your blood sugar spikes and then it goes down and you've got to have more, it's like an addict. You need more of that sugar substance. You don't get those swings in the blood sugar with almond flour. You just get a nice feeling of being full.
Wonderful. You mentioned about eating almonds, people lose weight. But part of the celiac disease, I imagine people gain weight because they're not getting the nutrients and then they eat more. Is that
right.
one of the symptoms as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, it's funny. The classical presentation of celiac disease used to be underweight, malnourished people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you bring up a really interesting point. It's funny, I was talking about it in a cooking class the other day. You can have people that are obese and malnourished, and you do have people that are very overweight and have celiac disease, and they're eating and eating because really they're starving and not absorbing anything.
Right,
but
right.
But we have that in this country. You'll see people in the grocery store, and they're buying orange soda and, you know, low price and low nutritional value foods, and they might be 300 pounds, but they are starving.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not getting any nutrients in the calories that they're consuming.
I watch The Biggest Loser religiously. I am a couch potato. Mm-hmm. I let them do all the work. But the fact is that it is such an epidemic in our country. And I believe that, based upon what we're talking about, that a lot of them have this problem as a base and don't even know it. Yeah,
I think we have an epidemic of malnourishment in this country with all the processed foods that are, you know, on the shelves of our grocery stores.
Right. Now, also, gluten-free diets are beneficial to those with diabetes, mm-hmm. thyroid disease. You mentioned obesity and heart disease as mm-hmm. well. So there are lots of good reasons to not only eat gluten-free, but in your case, to eat gluten-free with almond flour. Now, let's talk a little bit about other recipes. And one I came across was matzo ball soup.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's not something that you would think would be matzo balls with almond flour.
It works. My family had a little bit of the flu last week, and I was making chicken soup with matzo balls all last week. It was our comfort food. And I also made it on last Friday night for Hanukkah. We love having matzo ball soup at Hanukkah and Passover. And it's just, again, wonderful to have what would be a classically high carbohydrate dish. We have with the high protein almond flour for the matzo balls, and then of course you have the high protein chicken stock. So mm-hmm. it's a lovely, filling, soothing dish, and it's one of my favorite in the book.
Actually, it's quite a simple recipe too. Maybe you can give the recipe since it's short. I'll give you a hint, page 45.
Thank you. I haven't memorized the pages. Okay, so this one is one of my favorites. It's so easy. Matzo ball soup, four large eggs, 2 teaspoons of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of ground black pepper, 2 cups blanched almond flour, and 6 cups chicken stock. And basically, all you're going to do is blend together the eggs, salt, pepper, and almond flour. Well, the first teaspoon of salt, you blend with that. And you form, you let the dough sit in the refrigerator for a couple hours and get firm. Then you're going to heat up a big pot of boiling water, drop your matzo balls in, and then put it into your chicken stock. And you're going to add the 2nd teaspoon of salt into that pot of boiling matzo ball making water. And I love making those with my children. We have a lot of fun doing that together.
So you cook the matzo balls separately?
Yeah, I cook the matzo balls in the boiling water, and then you put them into the chicken stock.
Okay, great.
I suppose you could try a shortcut experiment and put them into the chicken stock, but that's the way my mother did it, is the way that I have in this book, where she mm-hmm. cooked them in water, and that's the way my grandmother did it.
And well, I guess they know best, as
you
know.
They know best, so I just follow what they do. And that is really the idea behind the book, mm-hmm. is when I was diagnosed with celiac disease, I wasn't that concerned, as I had mentioned before, with breaking bread with my peers, but my son was diagnosed when he was 3 years old. And at that point, I really made it my mission to turn all of my favorite classic recipes into gluten-free alternatives, because I wanted him to have matzo ball soup and all the things I had growing up.
Now, does it have a sweet flavor?
The matzo ball soup?
Yes. Well, the matzo is, yes, because
it's a savory dish. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of salt and pepper in there. Not too much, but, you know, chicken soup. And, that's a savory dish. But it's a good question, because almond flour does have a little bit of a... Almonds are kind of sweet. I mean, we don't have so much the taste of natural sweetness mm-hmm. on our palates, because we live in a culture that's heavily salted and sugared. Those are the main flavors.
Right.
But if you ever do like a little fast and don't, just a sweet fast and don't eat any junk food and don't eat any fruit for a week, you'll take a bite into a carrot or a nut and it will taste like the sweetest thing you've ever tasted. Like, you can recover your sense of taste.
Mm-hmm. That sounds
and
wonderful.
Almonds are naturally sweet, and almond flour is naturally sweet, which makes the dessert recipes in this book so fabulous, because you've just got a natural sweetness coming through.
Well, let's touch upon the desserts. As far as dessert, you have a wonderful pumpkin pie recipe.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that for the holidays.
And it's funny, I have in my book a little story about my son devouring the pumpkin pie, and he can eat half a pumpkin pie that in a day. He'll eat like a slice for breakfast, a slice for lunch, and a slice for dinner. He loves pumpkin pie. And this is, again, another fun recipe. You just take a small 3-pound pie pumpkin. I also like to use acorn or butternut squash. Whatever hard winter squash in the health food store, grocery store, looks the ripest and most orange with beta carotene, which means it's the most sweet. I will use that for my recipe. And you cook the squash in the oven at 350 for about 45 minutes. And then you're going to puree it in a food processor with a tablespoon of cinnamon, a teaspoon of nutmeg, a quarter teaspoon of ginger. These are all ground spices. And a pinch of cloves, a half a teaspoon of sea salt, and 3/4 cup agave nectar, and 2 large eggs. A tablespoon of vanilla, a tablespoon of lemon juice, and then you'll just put it in your pre-baked pie crust and pop it in the oven for just under an hour, and you're done. Now, that sounded like a long list of ingredients, but it was mostly spices. So basically, you take your cooked, you know, hard winter squash, throw it in with all these spices and agave, and whirl it up in your food processor and throw it in your crust, and you're good to go.
Oh, all these recipes are just terrific. That pumpkin pie recipe in particular is like two major superfoods.
Uh-huh.
It's the almonds and the pumpkin,
both
of which are considered superfoods. So a lot of your recipes in there, I believe, are based on superfoods, are they not?
They are. And the almond is the ultimate superfood. And I love cooking with superfoods because I want to see my children think they're eating a dessert. And I know better.
Yeah, really.
But they're eating, you know, they think it's dessert, but they're just getting another good helping of dinner.
Well, your recipes are really, as you just mentioned, I mean, these are good, solid recipes. They're not necessarily that complex, so that people can actually make them on a daily basis.
Yes, and my children and I have been every night making the holiday cookies, actually. And those have 5 ingredients. It's almond flour, salt, grapeseed oil, agave, and vanilla. Some nights when I'm going really fast, I'll make it even without the vanilla. And I'm like, wow, I forgot how good this recipe, this dish tastes. And the kids love it. They decorate with sprinkles, and we have out the cookie cutters, and we're rolling out the dough. But again, it's, you know, it's not that sweet, and it's full of rich almond flour, and so it's, again, really a win-win situation.
Mm-hmm. Now, I noticed that you mentioned using agave. Is it syrup? What is it?
It's agave nectar.
Agave nectar.
And it comes from the agave plant, which is very closely related. It looks like a cactus, basically, and it's a lower glycemic sweetener.
Mm-hmm. Instead of sugar.
I use that instead of processed white sugar.
Okay, great. Now, because it's a liquid, how does that work? In other words, sugar is more of a, I don't know what you call it, a solid. I know it dissolves,
yeah.
but the nectar is liquidy, so how do you compensate in your recipes?
Well, it's an interesting question because a lot of the times people ask me, can you substitute such and such ingredient one-on-one? And really what I did rather than substituting was I went back and I recreated from scratch all of my favorite recipes, and I sort of learned how to work with almond flour, grape seed oil, and agave nectar, like any chef teaching themselves how to use something, but that chef wouldn't have had the benefit of using recipes that were previously developed, because while I was basing the recipe on maybe the chocolate chip cookies from The Joy of Cooking, they're really, in truth, nothing like that. So I had to kind of go back and re-engineer everything, and the reason I use grape seed oil is because a lot of people with celiac disease cannot have dairy and are lactose intolerant or they're casein intolerant. And so I wanted to find another ingredient to replace dairy so that even more people could be included in this type of food.
If you don't know what you're doing, you could be very limited.
Yeah, you could be limited. But I think I've heard from so many people that cut all these things out of their diet and they're just so happy to feel good again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there are people that are incapacitated from celiac disease, and once you get your life back and you can, you know, I can keep up with my children and play football with them in the park. We were boxing in our basement yesterday. I mean, that's what's most important to me.
Absolutely.
And at the same time, I'm thrilled that I can have holiday cookies with them. And that's why I developed these recipes in the Gluten-Free Almond Flour Cookbook. And, of course, also on my website, ilanaspantry.com.
Right. I was just going to mention that you started a blog, and it's now a top gluten-free online resource. And now this is impressive, generating more than 500,000 page views per month. That's impressive.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And let's give that out. What is your address?
That's ilanaspantry.com, ElanasP, pantry.com.
Okay,
and
great.
I have hundreds of free recipes on the website. And some of them you wouldn't even know they're gluten-free. There's, you know, grilled lemon chicken and kale salad with cranberries and all kinds of fun food that's great for entertaining but also easy enough to make every night for your own family.
Great. Yes, well, I'm telling you, this is a book that I know that I'm going to give to others for the holidays and also use myself. As I said, I don't know that I'm celiac disease, but definitely gluten sensitive, and this is a great start for me. Mm-hmm. Also, I just wanted to quickly mention that at Trader Joe's, they have almond meal, M-E-A-L. How fine is the almond flour that you use? Is it like a flour or is it almond meal?
Oh, it's a flour. And almond meal, I think the product that you're talking about has the skins on the almonds.
Yes.
And that doesn't really yield the best results in my recipes. In my book, I use blanched almond flour.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I do that is because we're trying to make something that doesn't look at all like health food. So using almond meal in these recipes would be akin to using whole wheat flour to make a fluffy white wedding cake.
I see.
Like you just wouldn't quite get the right mouthfeel.
Mm-hmm.
And that delicate, light, buttery flavor that you want. We don't like the words health food, even though I want people to eat healthy, especially my own family. We don't really need them to know that they're doing that.
Right, I understand.
That's the key.
But you can get this blanched almond flour at health food stores or regular stores?
Your best bet for buying blanched almond flour is to go online, actually. It's a third of the price when you order it online, even including the shipping. And it's twice as high quality. And I do list in the back of my book a resource section. It's on page 127.
Okay.
And then I also, on my website, at the top have a navigation bar, and the word ingredients is up there. And all of the ingredients, their uses are explained in the front of my book and on my website. And I also, on my website, provide numerous vendors for each ingredient, and I go through and I research and find the best available ingredient for the cheapest possible price.
Great. And one more time, your website?
It's elanaspantry.com, E-L-A-N-A-S. pantry.com.
This is a nice-sized book. It's 6 inches square. This is like a perfect gift item, especially for people that are gluten intolerant.
Mm-hmm.
And where can they find your book?
The Gluten-Free Almond Flour Cookbook is available on Amazon.com. It's available at Borders, Barnes & Noble, and your local bookstore. It's pretty much available wherever books are sold.
Okay, great. We've been speaking with Elana Amsterdam, the author of the Gluten-Free Almond Flour Cookbook, just in time for the holidays, learn how to bake gluten-free for yourself and your friends. Any last words, Elana?
Jen, I just want to thank you for having me on. It was just so nice to chat with you and talk about the book. I really appreciate
it. Great. You're most welcome, and hopefully we'll have you back another time. This is your host, Jenna Snow, for the Epicurean Corner. Thank you for joining us, and remember, enjoy your slice of life. Happy holidays.